Welcome back to another episode of Below the Dot Podcast, where we recap and discuss a new episode of Degrassi, The Next Generation, every Throwback Thursday from the Degrassi Black Hole. I am your co-host, Terry McGregor.
And I am your other host, Chris Sharp.
And today we are recapping the two-part season four finale titled Going Down the Road. But before that, we'll get into some trivia for Terry.
That we will. I have four questions this week. I can enunciate. What is Ashley going to do before she leaves the UK?
Doesn't she need to see a movie? Is it a movie?
Yes, and I'm only hesitating because I cannot read this word. Hang on. Okay. She is going to see a movie at Leicester Square. Okay. It is spelled L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R. So I was just looking at it, and I was like, I know that's not Leicester. That'll make no sense. So according to Wikipedia, it's pronounced Leicester Square, and that is where she will be seeing a movie in Leicester Square. So I will give it to you.
Thanks.
What is the name of the movie that they are filming in this episode?
Is it literally, is it Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian? A?
There we go. Yes. Two more. What is Manny's character's name in the movie?
Oh, dang it. What is her name? I just could not get over how grown she suddenly looks for this role. I have no clue what her name was.
I'll give you a hint. It is a name mentioned in a Kanye West song.
Oh, my goodness. I have no freaking clue. Sandra.
Apollonia.
Oh, okay. Dang. Sandra. Right. That's probably not in a Kanye West song, is all I came up with, though.
I was sitting here, I was like, but I wasn't going to call you out because I was like, what do I know? You know music, I don't. What is the number that people need to dial if they have seen Craig?
Oh my goodness. It's like maybe, is it 1555 missing?
Yes. Look at you, 75%.
It's always a 5-5. I'm pretty sure people know this. It's always a 5-5-5 number in television shows because those numbers don't exist or something like that. That's hilarious. The context isn't hilarious, but wow. We'll get into it when we get into it. They started working fast to find Craig Child. They don't do that in the States. I'll tell you that right now.
Girl, I was just talking to my mama about that because I said somebody went missing by over at my house. And I was like, you know, who knows where she's at? And she said, that is just not how they act about other people who look differently.
Right. Absolutely.
Anyway, do you have any tidbits? I have a couple, but we'll talk about yours first.
Yes, I actually don't have any today. I do have a new idea for a segment, so stay tuned. And I think I'll do that when we get into the new season. So that should be cool. But I don't have anything today because it's a two-part. So I'm interested to see what you have.
So I start off by saying that I have no idea where to start. This is a two-part episode. I don't even know the A or B plot, so I just merged everything together. In the opening scene, we see Jay and Silent Bob being yelled at by a principal. Apparently, they're supposed to be in high school. And so I go into my tidbits to say that this episode aired in 2005. So we'll pretend that it was filmed in 2004, which would make Jason Mewes 30 at the time of filming. Mm-mm. And Melissa McIntyre, Ashley Kerwin's character or actress, was 18. Her character, however, was only a junior in high school, 17. So looking more into information about the ages brought me across Jason Mewes' battle with addiction. So in 2004, Kevin Smith had to leave Jason out of Jersey Girls as a result of his struggle with addiction. And it looks like he may have been using off and on at the time, which is when this was filmed. So I'm just kind of like, was your character just under the influence and this is why he was so fucking weird about these high school age girls? Like, what is the joke here?
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, like, they make so many jokes about him hitting on Ashley and him hitting on Manny and Ellie. And I'm like, dude, your actress is 30. You know that you're a grown-ass man. Why do we keep coming back to this? What's going on here?
Yes, anyway. I have to say, I definitely noticed that. And just, like, I thought it was just, like, his bit. But once you get into the episode, like, honestly, both of them act really creepy. Like, this, right. Like the comments and stuff they make towards women and everything is really wild. And I don't know how they got away with making a whole two-part episode fake movie about the fact that his character was dating a freshman and was, like, playing someone older. That's wild.
Right. And my thing was, is, like, regardless of where he was in his recovery process, there were other people around him who were actively sober.
Right.
So what were exactly. y'all doing? If not why him, then who?
Right. Someone's responsible here, because why did y'all let him do that? It was literally the only time you heard him talk, he was saying some creepy stuff to, like, the high school girls. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So those are my tidbits. I just kind of looked into the ages of the characters and the actors behind them. So Jay makes a pass at Ashley. And I just want to say, when we talk about Jay, it gets confusing because there's Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. And then there's Jay the Devil. So I guess I'll identify them as Jay the Predator and Jay the Devil. So Jay the Predator makes a pass at Ashley in front of Craig. And Kevin tells Craig, don't let Jay the Predator go after your girl in front of you. Also, it took me until that moment to realize that this was Alanis Morissette playing the principal in the episode. And I'm just like, wow, everybody and their mom was in this episode, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that Craig is writing music for this movie, considering the song he submitted sucked, but here we are. In case you forgot, and I don't want to deny that old boy, whatever his name is, I know you know. What is his government name? Craig's government name.
Jake?
Jake Epstein. Jake there Epstein. We go. Mm-hmm. I'm not discrediting that. That boy can act, okay? But yeah. Craig, the character, the music he submitted and played, was it was not a bop. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Ashley is going to England, as we heard in our tidbits and maybe a previous episode. Kevin Smith is doing an interview with Caitlin Ryan about his movie, and it comes up that he remembers her sign-off from the show, Ryan's Planet. He even has the entire DVD collection on hand, which is a little bit weird, because why does he have that on him? He admits that it's creepy, but he was a big fan of her show, which it's not that creepy to be a big fan of the show because she was in the public eye, but why did you have the DVD set on you?
Right. He wanted her to sign it or something.
Caitlin asks Kevin why they're going Canadian, and it's because he loves Canadian women, Caitlin, apparently. And she's, like, swooned by him.
For what reason? Literally, it has to be no other reason than the fact that he's, like, supposed to be... Well, he is, but, you know, like an actor from L.A. or a director, rather. Because, girl, what?
Right. Right. So, and here's a moment which you may not notice unless you know. And if you know, you know. If you don't know, you'll find out. Liberty is laying the pickles on thick on her plate. Ashley tells Liberty, you do know that you can buy bottles of that at the grocery store. And Liberty's like, but I like the free option from the cafeteria. And then Spinner comments on Liberty eating a lot the day before. And then we talk no more about it.
I just knew it based on the fact that it was pickles. I knew that had to be tied to something. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a universal sign for something. So if you know, you know. If you don't, mm-hmm. you'll find out. But a pickles craving means something.
Mm-hmm. Hang on. Your sister's talking shit.
Nothing new.
My raggedy ass tornado took my eyebrow kit and threw that shit on the ground. And so, you know, it busted. So now I got to buy a new eyebrow kit.
Oh, no.
And I sent it to them. But, like, the eyebrow kit had two tones. And so I sent a picture. And she said, whose dark makeup is that, bitch? It was my eyebrow kit. And it was the darker of the two shades. Mind your business. Not anyway.
Dark makeup.
Craig is not pleased to see that Spinner is providing catering with the dot. Jay, the villain, the devil, and Craig have a spat, and it results in Ashley asking Craig, did you take your pills last night? And the way I would have slapped that bitch right then and there, but it would not have helped his case. Craig instead settles for telling Ashley
it's aggressive.
It's really embarrassing when she asks him that. And it is, bitch!
That's not his mother. What?
Girl, what's going on in the background over there?
What?
Is it me? Do I hear me? I do hear me.
Oh, do you? That's so annoying. Do you? Maybe I'm too close to my headphones. Do you still, I mean, my mic, do you still hear it?
No, I do not hear me.
Okay. I must have been way too close to,
to my microphone. Am I that loud? Damn. Am I the problem? Anyway, I thought you were watching a show. I was like, well, how is she watching a show and doing this at the same time? Why? All right, back to the show. So I am confused because Mandy tells Jay the Predator that he's too old for her. But then why is he in high school? Mm-hmm. Jay the Predator tells Apollonia, Manny's character, that even though there are laws to prevent it, he's going to marry her. I was originally going to skip over recapping this scene, but then Jay the Predator then starts going on about how she is the sugar to his maple, the poutine to his bacon, or the ick, empathetic, per Ellie. Which then made me wonder if we call it the ick because it's short for another word, but I don't know.
That's a good point, because most people literally just refer to them as icks, as is.
Right. Who knows?
Gen Z probably knows, right? That's the generation.
Yeah, tune in. Let us know why we call it the ick. Okay. Ellie has made it her mission to cheer Craig up about the departure of Ashley, and so it begins the long line of Ellie doing the absolute most for a man who deserves the absolute least. Kevin advises Craig to follow Ashley to London, and once again, uninvited. See Ashley's father's wedding, for which he was also uninvited. I would be so pissed.
Bad ideas across the board. How are you giving this man ideas and not being like, have you talked to her about this? You know what I mean? Like, what? Why would he follow? Like, I know why he would follow her, but why do you think that she would just want someone on her coattails all summer?
Like, sometimes she has to work. Just needs space. Sometimes.
Absolutely. Even in high school. Are you kidding me? Sometimes summer's the excuse to get away from someone.
Right. What are we doing?
I am serious.
Oh, okay. Serious over here listening and responding.
All right. Wow, she's minding everyone's business but her own.
That's crazy. But yeah, so, no. Terrible idea.
Kevin does tell Jason, Jay the Predator, that he needs to leave the teenage girls alone because it's gross. So I guess we called him out once for his gross behavior. Craig takes it upon himself to look into Kevin's advice, and Caitlin finds him looking at London on a computer in the lab.
So you don't think me going to England's the worst idea since whatever my last idea was?
At least my guy knows that he has bad ideas.
Mm-hmm. And is just looking for validation from other people to be like, you have bad ideas.
Do you know who doesn't know that they have bad ideas? Caitlin Ryan.
Caitlin. Because
She about to come through with some bad advice again, which is not the first time we've told y'all about your girl, season 3, episode 17. We told y'all when Caitlin encouraged Craig to chase after Manny, and also when Caitlin encouraged Emma to go for that little predator off the internet. Caitlin, stop giving the kids advice.
And stop asking her. Like, I need them to stop asking her. Because even Craig knew that it was a bad idea and still let her talk him into it.
He did.
Embarrassing. Man.
Where are we? So, what does she say? Caitlin encourages him to go forward. She says it would be a summer away. And, like, maybe he does need a little bit of a break, a summer away. But does he need to follow Ashley to London? No. Let that bitch breathe.
Right. Buy him a ticket to anywhere else where he can go discover himself.
Yes. Caitlin gets some feedback regarding her news segment, and I did not understand the feedback at all. I do understand that she was not pleased by it, though. And right on cue, somebody calls Caitlin to inquire about her receiving or reviving Ryan's planet. Caitlin's really excited about it, but to take the job in L.A., would require her to leave her family behind. And y'all know Joey is not about to be here for supporting her career change or, like, her career move again.
Yeah, so Craig, the second time.
Craig asked Joey about going to England, and Joey makes a very valid point. Sir, you were just diagnosed with bipolar after beating my ass not 6 months ago, but you think it's a good idea that I should send you to London unsupervised for the summer. Never you mind. Craig says he's cured. He's fine. And then he gets offended by Joey's hesitation and he takes his reaction to the max. I personally loved how much Kevin Smith is not a fan of Paige's acting. Just, she's thirstily asking, did you love me? Did you love my acting? And Kevin just tells her, isn't the word, and he cannot find one kind enough to describe her, apparently. Which really just brings me back to season one, where Paige was competing with Terry for somebody's attention and just doing the absolute most. And it's like, I mean, I want greatness for Paige, but I also like to see her humbled when I think about how she treated some of the other characters, like Terry.
Yeah. It's funny because she's so, like, she's the first person to volunteer for these opportunities, but it's just so funny that she's so bad at it. Because she, again, she was so good at everything else, right? Like, cheer squad, all that stuff. Right. And they'd just be like, no, girl, like, acting is not your thing. And I also forgot that already. I forgot that her, what is it, her leg or whatever is broken, and she's, like, hobbling away. She's not doing well.
I feel like her character had such a downfall, and yes, I don't know if we ever get to see her pick her ass back up, but, you know, we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, so she's hobbling away, looking real pathetic, putting the ick in pathetic or whatever. Where are we? I keep getting lost. Caitlin tells Kevin about the offer she received for Ryan's Planet, and of course he wants to encourage her to do the show. And he tries to tell Caitlin that she's better than what she's doing right now, but then she gets offended, even though she was already offended and not pleased with what she was doing. Like, I guess she didn't want somebody else to say it out loud.
She has nerve, though, because right before this is when Joey's just trying to tell her that he's, like, doing well at his job. And then she reminds him that, like, what did she say? Something about, like, how him selling all these cars is terrible for the planet.
Oh, she did. That little bitch. Like, bitch, you know that's his job.
That's his job. And also, you know that, like, his job was borderline going under, which is why you had to buy this house that he's living in now that you're going to remind him about.
Right, so he needs to sell the cars, but also you knew he sold cars when you decided to buy his house and move in with him.
Yes, and several times over, right? Like, you came back and wanted to be with him, and he was still a car salesman. You know what I mean? And
I need to know, is Toronto, like, a walkable city, or... I don't know.
That's a good point.
Do they need cars there?
I don't know, but she is on her high horse about it, and it's just silly because, again, he was trying to provide for himself with that job, and he's actually doing well. And he's being supportive of her, like, going to LA, and the fact that she can't even have a second of being happy that he, like, made 2 sales. You know what I mean?
Was he supportive of LA?
He was, wasn't he?
I know. I thought he told that bitch, bitch, you just got back. Like, what the fuck? I thought he was.
I don't know. Maybe I read that differently. Yeah. I might have to run back the scene.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't supportive. I thought he was kind of like, I keep supporting you on this. When are you going to settle down?
That's fair. But either way, he's supported her once, and she's over here not supporting his job. So
she's not. Anyway, so Caitlin got offended by Kevin's comments, but then Tomas complains to her later about her segment, and she tells him, you know what, fuck you, Tomas, I quit, because I don't got time for your shit. In the next scene, we see Craig with Jimmy outside the movie theater playing the new song he has written for Jimmy when Joey arrives. Craig is amped, and he's like, I'm gonna go off on this bitch, you little short car sailing hoe. And when he's surprised to see that Joey actually purchased him the tickets to London. All of this is just wild to me because Ashley has no idea. Can't wait to see how Ashley reacts about this. Joey evidently wants Mr. Kerwin to keep an eye on Craig as well. I want to know now, why is he in it?
He would like to know too, and he would also like to know how suddenly that's his responsibility when no one asked him.
After Craig ruined his wedding, BFFR.
Right. Are you kidding me?
I barely tolerate the fact that you still dating my daughter.
Right, and that's probably also why the dad is like, yes, Ashley, come to London for the summer to get away from your boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Craig excitedly arrives to say goodbye to Ashley, and he lets her know it's not goodbye. It's see you later in London. And I know why Craig was hurt, but do you think Ashley was wrong for how she responded to him?
Not at all, because you cannot spring that on someone minutes before they leave. Like, the thing that Craig is missing here is communication. And also, they also already seem to have had communication. So now she's going to say it. But he's going back on how they already spoke on this. Like, he literally said he was okay with it. See you at the end of the summer. And now you're telling me that you're coming with me as I'm trying to leave? Like, no, you're going to get this reaction because we didn't talk about it. And what we did talk about, I already told you we were going to be apart for the summer, and that was okay.
this is, and you know what, honestly, some people you don't surprise, but also
right.
you don't surprise somebody with this. I did not consent to being in the city with you.
Yeah. And also she probably has her own plans, her own, again, internship, place to stay, set up, and you're just suddenly riding her coattails. Like how? Without having the conversation, you can't surprise someone with that. You're being a burden. That's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm. So I will be livid, just like Ashley was. I didn't invite you on a trip. I do think it's annoying as hell that she jumped to ask Craig if he was off his meds, because how many times are you going to ask this question?
Look, Craig, I love you, but ever since my dad's wedding, it's just been me worrying, me watching for signs, watching what I say.
Now, I know this hurt, and maybe there was a better way for Ashley to communicate this, but she's first of all 17, and second of all, she's not wrong. She deserves a break, she deserves space, and she deserves to not have to walk on eggshells around Craig's recovery journey. I'm sorry you had to find out this way, Craig, but if you would have just let her go to London like the plans were, maybe you wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's true.
Craig tries to reassure Ashley that he's better now, but certainly not better with respecting her, and she tells him to email her, and she'll see him in September. So she said, even if we are in the same city, don't plan to seeing me there.
Don't ask me where I'm staying. Don't ask me what I'm doing. I'm acting like you're still back here.
It was like, so are we considering that a breakup?
Right. That's a good point. Or I would count it just as an argument, because she didn't say we're not together. She said, like I said before, email me, because that's what we were going to do when we agreed that you were going to stay here. So we could still be together. Mm-hmm. I'm pissed at you. This isn't how I want to leave, but you can email me.
Yeah. And then I just wonder if what happened was just like next was due to actor circumstances, but neither here nor there. Yeah. Craig tries to reassure Ashley. Oh, sorry. Caitlin's at the bar getting drunk with Kevin. The storyline doesn't even make any sense to me, because why is she at the bar with Kevin?
Girl, friendly. Too friendly.
Like, hang on. Now I'm being nosy. Why did people ask on Google, did Melissa McIntyre and Drake date?
I'm screaming. They wanted them to be together so bad just because they look similar, I'm telling you.
Apparently, it wasn't her decision to leave Degrassi at the end of season 4. But this is just a summary on a Degrassi video, and I'm not going to go all the way into that. But so I guess, because I was like wondering, like maybe she left to work on some things, go to school or something, because she leaves, spoiler alert, and then she comes back. So I guess technically not a spoiler. We'll see what happens with that storyline. So I was just kind of wondering if that was due to her life. But I guess according to that brief clip on the video, no. Anyway, so Caitlin's getting drunk. Kevin's gassing her up. And just the way, he is slow and steady-ass man. He's like, I've been waiting years for this, so I'm not going to put it on too hard, but I'm going to let you know. But Caitlin's drunk, and her rendition of being drunk is really embarrassing, because I just don't think that's how drunk people be acting. But maybe, I don't know, drunk people who act like Caitlin. Do you
know? She's old enough to know. Right. No, that's what I was going to say.
Like, do you know people who act like that?
No. Because it's like, she was clearly acting drunk, you know?
Right. But like, right, she was old enough in which she, I would imagine she's drank before in her life and knows what it's like to act drunk, but she was not acting what I know drunk people to act like.
Yeah, it's so cringy. The scene is so cringy and embarrassing, because girl, you are grown. You are very grown.
I hate her. So she ends up asking old boy if he's gay, and he tells her, I'm not. I just focus on one partner at a time. And I really didn't understand the reason he gave. He gives a metaphor. Caitlin decides to kiss him. And then she ultimately feels guilty because, and this moment, I thought she was engaged to Joey, but then I found out later already. That I was actually incorrect. She is not already engaged. Craig and Joey are watching TV together, and Craig demonstrates exactly why he shouldn't be trusted, because he can't even own up to the fact that Ashley wasn't happy for him to join her in London. And instead, he decides to lie.
And it would have made sense, because this man just brought you a plane ticket without having a conversation with her. And he would have been like, you know what? I was right. Caitlin was wrong and I shouldn't have done this. But rather than doing that and having like a sensible conversation, maybe getting a refund on the ticket or something, he just lies.
I think the summary of this episode of the moral is going to be, you ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Yes, it's not the first time either. Come on, let's be so for real.
So he lies, and now we got to watch him try to keep up with the lie. Kaylin comes home. She asked Joey to marry her, and I guess they weren't engaged before. Oh, well. Meanwhile, in the Jeremiah household, Craig decides that since he's not going to London, he doesn't need to take his medication anymore. And I just want to know why we were allowing this boy to self-manage his medication.
That's what I was just about to say. Why did you leave someone in charge that so clearly hasn't accepted the fact that that's what he's going through yet? And that's fine because he's young, but why are we trusting him to do that when he ran away and did all this other wild stuff before?
Thank you. Like, thank you. Thank you. He throws out the rest and he pretends to go to London. He tells the cab driver once he gets in there's been a change of plans, but we won't find out until part two of the episode. If we still had ads going, we would take a little ad break, but we don't have ads going. Maybe we'll talk about Terry's idea for the future.
Yes. So I texted you last week when I did this, but I ended up down a rabbit hole on Cassie Steele's TikTok just to realize that she is very normal. Like, she's living a very normal life, lives in the States, has two houses in the States. Apparently she lives in like Tennessee and Colorado.
Is pregnant in Tennessee.
Right? She's pregnant. She's living her life. And that made me realize that, wow, I really like seeing what these Degrassi people are up to by just like stalking their TikToks. So I think what I'm going to do is when we have a black hole character or just someone that is like prominent in the episode, I'm just going to do a deep dive into what they're doing now, because we had the realization that a lot of these actors turned out pretty normal post Degrassi. So
yes. We were talking about that. I mean, and anyone is open to correcting us on that.
Right.
But when you compare the people who were on Degrassi to the people who were on Nickelodeon and Disney Channel shows,
oof.
Like, these people on Degrassi just turned out to be regular people, having babies, having houses, working jobs, living their lives. I think some of them continued with acting, but still mm-hmm. seem moderately down to earth. Some of them, I think the girl who played Bianca, she seems like she's kind of a socialite now. And Nina Dobrev, she also did some more acting in addition to it. But like Charlotte Arnold, who was Holly J, and even Shanae Grimes, I think is moderately normal. I mean, I don't know. We're going to do a deep dive. In comparison to, you think about all of the very sick Disney and Nickelodeon actors who struggled so much to go from childhood to adulthood, who continue to try to keep up their acting careers, versus Degrassi actors who are like, okay, so I did that and now I'm living a normal life. That was great, paid some bills, and now, and maybe not even many. Drake says that kept his ass poor. But either way, they were just so regular.
Yes.
And then I wonder, like, I was like, is it just Canada? Because I am a huge fan of the show Working Moms. I think the show is hilarious. And the person on the show who plays the villain of the show, Jenny, who was terrible for all seven seasons, she is just a regular-ass realtor. I follow her on TikTok. She came across my feed. She actually, like, engages. But, like, she was on a lot of seasons of the show. At least she wasn't on all seven seasons, but she was a pretty prominent character. If you watch the show, you know who Jenny is, and you probably can't stand that bitch. So I'm just like, she out here being a realtor? Is this Canadian acting? Is just being regular and down to earth? And I know people used to say that they would see the actors at the mall and stuff, and that they didn't really get that fandom until they went to the United States. So I was just really interested to see how normal so many of them are.
Yes, that's what got me there. I was literally just like, there has to be some, like, I want to know where these people randomly live and what they do that's not Degrassi anymore. Because I do know there is, I have to find the YouTube channel. There's this girl that will, like, do Degrassi specific content and kind of, like, rate the Lifetime movies that Degrassi actors were in. And it's really, really funny. So I know that Cassie herself has been in a couple movies and stuff like that. But again, just like, I want to know what happened to these black hole characters, because a lot of them just kind of fall off. So if people are normal from being on Degrassi for seasons, I really wonder what the people that are in the black hole are up to at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Hazel's actor, you all know I barely know their names in the damn show. So I'm having a really hard time. I actually don't know the government names. God. And I know it too.
Is it Andrea?
Andrea Lewis, or there Andrea, however she says it. Anyway.
So
I know she's still kind of doing some acting. I think she's still friends with Terry's actress.
Mm-hmm.
Christina Schmidt. Look at me.
Look at you go.
But I also love seeing them at each other's weddings too.
Yes, I do too. That's cute.
Yes, the characters who have, or the actors in real life who are no longer actors who got married. I know Jessica Tyler, who played, what's her face? I think she's pregnant now, and I think she recently got married. She played Jenna, and a lot of them were at her wedding. Somebody else recently got engaged. It might have been Imogen's actress, who is it Christina?
Yes, I know, I don't know her name, but I know because we follow her on the our like Instagram page, and she where she had her bachelorette party is where I'm trying to do my 30th. So I was looking at what she was doing.
Oh, where are we going?
Yes. Where did she go? Scottsdale.
Okay. I just want to be clear. I said, where are we going? And you said, where did she go? So I just wanted on record that I will be in Scottsdale with Terry for her 30th. She kind of hesitated and dialed it back. It was like, I'm not going to be there. I was at her 25th and I'll be at her 30th. The fuck?
That's actually very true. She was. And none of my other friends were.
Because they fake. But me and her sister, we real ones.
Yes. We did celebrate my 25th. Well, yes, there is actually an extra bed. So holler at me.
See? And I'm fake as fuck because I wasn't sure if she was turning 30 this year or next year. So...
I'm surprised I'm even telling y'all this, but just know that homegirl, everyone's going to Scottsdale and it seems like the place to be. And homegirl went there for a bachelorette.
Yes. Oh. Well, I can't wait to be at your 30th birthday trip. I'm not going to be there. No. But so maybe funny. I will be. And you'll
but there's an extra bed either way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my idea. So stay tuned for season 5. I'm going to start deep diving people and see how normal or not normal they are. So.
All right. In the opening scene of part 2 of this episode, Spike is doing a really shitty job on Caitlin's hair when Kevin Smith barges in. Somehow, Spike works into the conversation that Caitlin asked Joey to marry her, and then she runs off to call Emma. Kevin takes this as a personal attack on his kissing skill, and whatever. He leaves before Caitlin can explain.
Spinner gets to work. Did he know she was in a relationship? I feel like, did they talk about that?
I thought he did. I don't know, girl. I just work here.
Like, what? There's just too much going on here. Like, I could see where he's coming from, though, because that's, he had a crush on her, and then to just show up the next day and that person proposed after literally just crying to you drunk. I see
right.
it.
Right. What's going on? Right. I'm gonna be offended, but what happens next bothers me.
Yeah, for sure.
So Spinner gets to work, and he's like, somebody's already here cooking scrambled eggs. What's going on? Surprise, it's Craig. Craig lies to Spinner, and he claims that Kevin Smith is allowing him to stay on set, but nobody knows.
Lips are, steeled.
Why are you gonna mess up the quote that badly?
That I thought that it's Spinner, and I thought that that was supposed to mean something, but it's Spinner. Also, it should have been a clear indicator to Spinner that something was off with Craig, which we know that he actually acts on, but he was literally just cussing Spinner out, like, 2 days ago, and now he's, like, trying to be cool with him, so he should have known that something was off the minute he said that. He couldn't sleep in the boiler room.
Yeah. Like, what? No, they didn't. But, you know. So Spinner tries to apologize to Craig about the band thing. And Craig says it's not a big deal because ass is like a virus who ruins everything. And Spinner looks pleased, but also very confused at Craig's change in tune. I'm trying to figure out how I miss that Caitlin is in the Kevin Smith movie as well. Because why did he hire a bunch of non-actors and teens for the movie? Like, are his movies usually this silly? Caitlin misses her cue. Right, I was thinking about watching one of his movies, and then I just never did, but maybe next time. Caitlin misses her cue, and Kevin's really tired of her fuck-ups, but, like, you could have also hired real actors. She then proceeds to mess up 35 times or more, and it's only 3 lines.
Meanwhile, why'd they let her do that for this long?
Right. Jay, the predator, has his hand on Ellie's knee to the point where she needs to ask him to take it off her knee. And again, I'm wondering what is the angle with this. But Kevin doesn't have the time for Caitlin's fuck-ups, and he works to replace her. He's not wrong for being annoyed with her, but he's wrong for the reasons why he's annoyed.
Mm-hmm. It's very backed by, like, jealousy.
Right. Like, you're not mad because she sucks. You're mad because she got engaged. And that's wrong.
Yes. And you met her like 3 days ago and you stopped, like, used to watch her, but she owes you this all of a sudden.
So I don't know how this is Caitlin's fault, what is about to happen, but Joey does get there somehow. So Caitlin gets replaced. Craig shows up out of nowhere. He's manic. He talks Kevin's ear off about a song. Kevin is confused to see Craig, and it comes to Spinner's attention, who was randomly also in the room, that Kevin Smith did not grant Craig permission to live on set, and Spinner actually does the right thing, and he instantly contacts Joey regarding Craig's whereabouts. And so, after the fact, Joey brings Craig home and uses it as his opportunity to start going all the way in on Caitlin about how he knew London was a bad idea. And he tries to pick a fight with Caitlin, and you gotta love Angie, because she's like, it's time to go, before anyone even asks him to leave. There are several low blows in this conversation, and honestly, maybe somebody's right and maybe somebody's wrong, but from this angle, they both look dead wrong. Caitlin throws it in Joey's face that she had to buy his house so he didn't lose it. And you know you can't do that to a man with ego issues. The writers, they just could not let them be great.
Yeah, this is my thing. I know they're about to talk about how they keep arguing. But when else did they, like, they argue about the kids, which I feel like people do. And that's also not Caitlin's kids, so she's not going to know how to act. So what you need to do, if you're really trying to make this work, is tell Caitlin to stop giving your children advice. Like, that's what y'all are arguing over. It's her advice.
Right. But also, I mean, for what it's worth, Joey, you made the decision to buy Craig the ticket. You did that.
Right. Yes, exactly. Caitlin could have hyped Craig up all she wanted, but Joey didn't have to act on it. He could have just been like, no, like, I am your actual parent in this situation. I say no.
Right.
That's just how I felt. Somehow, Caitlin ends up running to Kevin Smith. Craig runs away because he realizes his existence ruins everyone's lives. And, I mean, it did do a number on the following individuals, which I'm about to list off right now. One, Joey. Two, Caitlin. Three, Ashley. Four, Ashley's dad. Five, Ashley's dad's husband. Six, Ashley's mom. And seven, Manny. A shorter list might have been a list of people who Craig has not hurt. And yes, I am aware that Craig is sick. But in his road to recovery, it is paved with a lot of fucking up people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, Craig decides he needs to run away with the lack of street smarts that he has. And he ends up playing with another street performer named Skinny. Like many ideas that Craig has, this one is not going to turn out well. Oh my god, I'm so surprised. Caitlin is on set thanking Kevin for his kindness when Joey shows up to interrupt the set. Does this set have any security?
They ain't letting anybody
Joey
in.
Joey is worried about Craig's whereabouts. And were you wondering about Craig's whereabouts yourself? Well, he's wandering around with Skinny trying to get some money. Skinny proposes robbing some man nearby. Craig tries to stop Skinny from stealing, but Skinny turns on Craig, beats his ass, and steals his guitar. Kevin shows up to the Jeremiah household to join the fight, and he's going on TV to solicit assistance in finding Craig. A man at the homeless shelter, where Craig currently is, recognizes Craig from the picture, which makes sense because he's wearing the exact same outfit in the picture that they use that he is in the shelter. What a coincidence. Meanwhile, in the Degrassi universe, Kevin tells Caitlin that she deserves better than settling. Damn, you ain't gotta do Joey like that. Where'd you go? Are you ringing?
Sorry, someone was FaceTiming me. Can you see me?
Bitches be popular.
Not that this just be trying to... It just tried to hijack my whole computer. Anyway.
Disrespectful. Okay. So, he tells Caitlin she's settling with Joey. I complimented Jake Epstein's acting. Joey finds Craig and he gets him to settle down magically. And then he goes to talk to Caitlin. He's pissed at the kid who robs Craig. And then Caitlin was like, but let's think about this.
You don't see Craig beating up strangers in the street, do you?
No, he just beats you up at home.
Damn. Caitlin ain't gonna do him like that.
Girl, she really read him. And I forgot about that for a second, but she was not wrong.
Never forget, Caitlin. Never forget.
Ooh. And she's not wrong. You need to understand that Craig is not perfect. He is sick and he needs help. But also, Caitlin, you need to hear that as well. And I'm not saying that, like, you have to put him in a bubble, but maybe it was too soon for him to have the responsibility of going on a solo trip to another country by himself, which I guess would be a solo trip.
But yeah, no, absolutely. That's the thing. It's also, and at the end of the day, they're still young teenagers. So on a regular right. day, are you going to send your son off on a right. solo trip? You know what I mean? Like, Ashley's dad is going to be in London, and that's why she's going. She's not right. just doing it all willy-nilly by herself, no plan. All they did was buy him a plane ticket.
Right. I hear everything you're saying. So anyway, Caitlin go in on him. But that illuminates that they apparently fight all the time. Do y'all? How can they get married when they always fight? I guess couples counseling isn't an option because they feel their relationship is not what it should be. And you know, if they had ended their storyline, both characters here, I would have been fine. Mm-hmm. They could have just moved them forward, left their characters alone. But unfortunately, they play with Caitlin in a few seasons and I'm going to be so mad at her. But we're not there yet. Caitlin arrives at the final scene of Kevin Smith's film to say that she has accepted the job offer for Ryan's Planet. Joey is devastated because he sees Kevin and Caitlin hugging one another. And it made me really sad to see Joey crying about losing Caitlin because, you know, I am a Joey and Caitlin, like, this is a Joey and Caitlin fan account or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Craig tries to comfort Joey by reminding him that he's still there, which is not the comfort that Craig
at all.
Craig promises to not go anywhere, but spoiler alert, Craig leaves Angie and Angie comes back as a different person. So Joey loses everybody.
Stop it. I don't think I realized that about Angie. Girl. I'm totally with you because I also looked through Caitlin and Joey's like relationship through the years. And just like to end on a note that they've just been arguing too much. When again, we haven't seen it. It was just lazy. Like there was a million other ways to go about it because it's literally like they argued in this episode and that is understandable because of what happened. And if they argued recently about Craig, it's because Craig was just diagnosed. You know what I mean? Like there's just lots of factors going on.
But you know what? His actor, Pat, whatever his last name is, look at me. Complained about how they had the adult characters. And it's probably around this storyline and onward that he kind of feels like they didn't develop or flesh their characters out enough. And I don't recall how much we see Caitlin after this point until she comes mm-hmm. back for the big hurrah. So this might be around the time where he kind of got tired of the storylines that he and others were being given, because I do feel like this episode was very rushed for it's like we're fine mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden we're not, we just argue all the time and it's over. You just bought his house. How do we get from you buying his house and vowing to be with him to actually I'm not happy and I feel like I'm settling to be with you? Do you, bitch? Do you?
Right. And because it's literally like they could have played on the fact, because I feel like what they were trying to get at was that she didn't like that she had to pay for his house and that Kevin was an established so-and-so from LA. So like maybe that's the vibe she wanted. They could have played into that if it was that serious. But you literally like tried to plan a wedding in like 2 days with this person. You know what I mean? And like threw it in his face when you were arguing, but never cared before about buying his house because you were the one that had to convince him that it was okay that you were doing it.
Could have just let him sell his house.
Right, exactly. And you could have never, the reason him and Sydney broke up anyway, why she charged you that much for the house is because of you. Like, you could have left them alone.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you have any morals for this episode?
I think the only moral I got was that relationships are not one-sided. So moving selfishly will not help progress or last any longer, as we see, because Craig was very one-sided with Ashley and just wanted to be with her and didn't care about the fact she wanted space. And then, I don't know what the hell Caitlin was doing, but she was in a one-sided relationship too because she was over here with Kevin. So that's all I got.
Continue not taking advice from Caitlin, Ryan. And whatever advice I said about Craig earlier in the episode, that applies here too.
Yeah.
Did you notice any other Easter eggs for future seasons aside from the one about Liberty? I couldn't think of any.
No, I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of Manny because I know that these next two episodes are about her and like acting, but I don't think I noticed anything else.
You know what I did notice? I will actually tell you about acting later in the season.
But was that Manny? No. I always have to remember that they don't show you things in movies and TV because they only have so much time. So they're typically, if they're doing their jobs right, they're not showing you things without having a reason for showing you that thing. Yes. So like that slick comment about Liberty, you know that's coming back to you. And any other little slick comments that went on in here are either adding to the current plot or hinting about future ones. So I always have to remember that when I'm watching movies and I'm like, that was random. Why the hell did you add that in there? And if they're doing their job right, I'm going to find out why it wasn't random. And if they're not always that great. So
that's such a good point, though, because we see JT another random time. But now I wonder if the conversation with Jimmy and Craig meant something, because we see Jimmy for like 2 seconds. Hmm. Or were they just trying to close off the season, knowing that he's still there, because they were like talking about music. So I wonder if that ties into it later. I know music for him does, but that's such a good point.
Oh, good, because I completely forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it always causes me to look at things differently. I also realize like it's the same concept with books. You're not going to have a book be 10,000 pages long and have a bunch of things that are just there to be there for the purpose, for the fun of it. Right. Every word, scene, character development, that is important to help you kind of tell and understand the story. But yeah, so we are finally at the end of season 4, which means that when we come back, we will be starting with season 5.
Yes, another 2-part.
And it's going to be a fun ride. That wraps this week's episode of Below the Dot Podcast and this season of 4 in Degrassi. If you enjoyed your listen, please tell a friend to tell a friend. All that liking, following, subscribing, also super important. To hold you over between episodes, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok under some derivative of the username Below the Dot. Except, obviously, if you do follow us, you know that I'm really shitty at updating Twitter and TikTok. And now that the school year's out, when the hell am I going to do all my podcast planning? But feel free to reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns on either of our social media accounts or email us at whateverittakes@gmail.com. I actually went and checked the email today and I was really sad that nobody ever emails us. So somebody email us so I feel special. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on your airwaves this time next week. Whatever it takes.